It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Welcome to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and the powerful iHeartRadio Network. Yes, 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 another edition. And tonight's show is going to be actually a fascinating topic for all you marketers out there. We're going to be discussing the market opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish demographic. But first, some intro notes. A special thank you to the great listenership of the show. We are once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. Nielsen is, of course, the global measurement and data analytics company. Our guests could talk about the data from a Nielsen, that's supplied by the Nielsen ratings, and that is a big deal. We're going to get to our guest in a moment. On our very popular YouTube channel, you can access many of the previous guests that we've had on this program. And in fact, if you click on subscribe, you're automatically notified every single time one of the episodes go live. We had on the Beth Comstock, the former vice chair and CMO at General Electric, Joe Hart, president and CMO at Dale Carnegie, and so many other incredible guests. I mean, the list goes on and on. We've had many Fortune 500 executives and leaders from a tremendous array of different types of industries, all with the goal of helping you get ahead in today's business world. Well, a show like this doesn't happen by itself. Special shout out and a thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG. In particular, Srili, Michal, Betzalel, Brocha, Michael, Moshe Chaim, Miriam, Nachi, Malki. Yes, it takes a team to pull off a show like this, and we thank them. Darren and Peter at 710 WOR, and Zev Brenner, who precedes me here on 710 WOR. Zev Brenner has been out there in the field for many decades and does his amazing work on the Talk Line Communications Network. We come to you on Nucky Radio. Special shout out to all those listening on Nucky Radio. Also, The Jewish Home, which features a print summary of selected Mind Your Business shows in a Q&A format, and our very popular Business Class Clips channel, Micro Learning. Every day, a clip that goes out a minute or less on WhatsApp or Instagram. On Instagram, just follow us at Business Class Clips. We are approaching 20,000 followers just on our channel alone. And when you follow us, you're automatically notified and receive the daily clip. Well, without further ado, tonight's incredible guest, Mark Trencher, founder of Nishma Research. Mark is a former financial industry executive and professor and Jewish communal lay leader. Mark has headed the market research departments at two Fortune 500 corporations, where he directed more than 50 research studies. And a few years ago, founded Nishma Research, which has done many research studies in the Jewish community, and he has taught research and statistical methods at a number of universities. And that's why we reached out to him. There's a tremendous opportunity, and we know it because Bottom Line Marketing Group has been fortunate to work on a number of campaigns, in particular Bloomberg for Mayor many years ago, Investors Bank, Samuel Hubbard, among many others. Companies that have realized that there's a tremendous opportunity in the market segment of the Orthodox Jewish community. Of course, listen, any company that goes kosher, that has that kosher symbol on their package, realizes they're going through that effort. Why? To get an additional market segment. So I turn to Mark Trencher with opening up the show. First of all, Mark, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
So, you know, we regrouped a number of weeks ago in preparation for the show. Tonight's conversation is everything you wanted to know about the Orthodox Jewish community as it relates to a marketer. Who exactly is the you? Who would benefit from the information we're going to be discussing tonight?
Okay, so first of all, it occurred to me as you're giving the introduction, you mentioned the fact that I had done over 50 research studies. That was in about 30 years. So you're talking about one or two studies a year. In the 7 years since I started Nishma Research, which specifically does research for the Jewish community and the Orthodox, I've already done 29 studies of the community. So there's a real desire for information about the community. And the desire is by people in the community, people who head organizations, schools, synagogues, nonprofits, but also marketers. Also, I've had calls from people who want to market products to the community, demographic, size of the market, brand awareness, that kind of thing. So when we say everything you wanted to know about the Orthodox Jewish community, the you is both people in the community, everybody, because it's a complicated community and people really don't know. But it is, as you said, there's a lot of good information that marketers will want to know, that marketers will want to know. And in terms of my calling this everything you wanted to know, obviously choosing the word everything is a big mistake, because it's totally impossible to cover everything in an hour. But we're going to try to cover a lot of the most interesting facts.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting question that comes up, especially for companies out there that are, you know, they're targeting, they have a product that reaches a specific demographic, let's say that they target 20 million people, 30 million people. And then within the Orthodox, they may be a high volume user for that particular product, but it's a small number. So for example, let's say minivans. Okay, so minivans have a certain demographic, a family with a number of children. Now, within the Orthodox community with a high birth rate, so they naturally minivans would be a great item to market specifically to the Jewish demographic. However, our numbers are small compared to Americans in general. So I guess my question to you is, why would this... let's say, even using that example, you can, of course, feel free to share other examples. Why would our community, which, and then maybe you could even share the numbers, the size of the Orthodox Jewish community coast to coast, we're talking about North America, why would this be attractive to companies that can benefit from this demographic?
Okay. So, yes, the community is relatively small, depending on what you compare it to. It has segments that are disproportionately small and large and influential and really have specific marketing. I want to just back it up a little bit and tell you very quickly. In 2017, I did a study, a profile of the American modern Orthodox community. Mm-hmm. Those of you who know what modern Orthodox people look like, it's people like Jack Lew, the former chief of staff, people like Robert Rubin, the former secretary of the Treasury. Modern Orthodox Jews are Jews that really are kind of, they're Orthodox, but also very much embedded in society. And there was that study of the modern Orthodox was covered in a publication called World Religion News. And the photo that they put on their front cover was a photo of a Hasidic couple, a man with a long beard, with the black hat, with the peyos, the side curls, his wife with the head covered, and little kids. So even an organization like World Religion News was absolutely clueless that there's really a difference between modern Orthodox and Haredi, I'll define it. And it was in the Haredi, the Hasidic, which I'll define, the Yeshivish or the Sephardic. So for starters, before I get to the numbers, just I'm going to tell you in one sentence that for a little group, we have a lot of really interesting subgroups that have different ways of living and different areas of interest. So talk about the numbers. So as we all know, the American population is about 330 million. Of which about seven and a half million are Jews in total. So the Jewish community has always been about 2% of the population. Mm-hmm. Within the American Jewish community, the Orthodox are about 10 or 12%. So you're really talking about 900,000 Orthodox Jews, which is not that much, but as I'll mention in a couple of minutes, they are very much clustered geographically in the tri-state area and a few other areas. So it's not like they're spread out over all 50 states. Mm-hmm. They're somewhat marketable because they're clustered. So we have your 900,000. Couple of facts: that 900,000 is growing very rapidly. The largest subgroup is Reform Jews with just under 3 million. Then conservative Jews are about a little bit more than 1 million, 1.2 million. And the Orthodox are about 900,000. If you would have said 20 years ago that the Orthodox would be almost as large as the conservative Jews, people would think you're crazy. But the birth rate is very high. The birth rate is very high. So just to give you a feel, it's about 900,000 Orthodox Jews throughout the entire country.
Got it.
In terms of the subgroups, so there are two broad groups: the modern Orthodox, I mentioned the modern Orthodox, and then you have the Haredi people that sometimes they're called ultra Orthodox, sometimes they're called black hatters. Those are somewhat pejorative terms. You have the Hasidic, the Hasidim, who might live in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, the Satmars, the Lubavitch, in Borough Park, very, very, very tightly clustered in neighborhoods and very reachable in the neighborhoods. So you have these various groups, and the Haredi groups, the Hasidic and the Yeshivish together, are about double the size of the modern Orthodox. So they're growing very rapidly. In addition, there's a group in the United States called Sephardic Jews. So all the groups I mentioned up to now are basically called Ashkenazic. We kind of hail from Central Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia. The Sephardic Jews come from Western Europe, Spain, Portugal, Morocco, Egypt, Iran, Syria, Iraq. So they're kind of the Middle Eastern. And they don't really refer to themselves in the same way. So I'll tell you just a little bit about the Sephardic when we go through the profile of them. But they are a specific, unique group, and I will cover them in just a little bit of detail in this program.
My guest is Mark Trencher, founder of Nishma Research. Before we go to a break, Mark, how could people find out more information about your services?
Well, if you go to nishmaresearch.com, that's NISHMA research, all one word, .com, there's a contact me box on top, but even better than that, there's a little tab called social research. And you can read a lot of articles and a lot of studies, and it's all available free of charge.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at brandspaycheck.com. That's brandspaycheck.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Hello, hello. And tonight's guest, Mark Trencher of Nishma Research. And we are discussing the market opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish demographic nationwide across the United States. As Mark mentioned in the first part, in the first segment of tonight's show, there are approximately 900,000, I've heard from different people, Menachem Lubinsky and others, that right, that number of Orthodox Jews coast to coast is approximately between 900,000 and a million. Now we would like to jump into, Mark, what type of companies out there can benefit by specifically targeting our community? We know that the kosher market is a multi-billion-dollar market, and those are companies that realize the opportunities within the Orthodox Jewish demographic. Perhaps you could discuss about kosher and other products specifically that can benefit by targeting and reaching the Orthodox Jewish demographic.
That's a very good question. And I can start by telling you, in my view, how the Orthodox are the biggest difference between them and the rest of the American society is, first of all, they marry very young. They marry at 19, 20, 21. Okay, that's interesting. The community has an extreme focus on children. I'll play a little bit of a little bit of demographic hopscotch with you, and I'll tell you 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. You're probably wondering what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Two is the median number of children that an American family has. It's kind of the replacement number. A couple gets married, they have two children. It could be one, could be three, but two is the median. The median is the midpoint. Among the modern Orthodox, the median is between 2 and 4. So I have three children, and my three children have 9 children. So there's your 3, 2, 3, 4. So the modern Orthodox are growing faster than the American community, but not as fast as the other group. So now you get to the yeshivish community, and they have typically between 4 and 6, and they could have 8, but now you're talking 4, 6, 8. And to continue on, the Hasidim, and if you want, I can describe, I can give a picture to if people need it, but the Hasidim, now you're talking about 6 to 8, 8 to 10, and even in numbers into the double digits are not unusual. So they have, the community has a lot of children, a lot of children. What does that mean? Not only do they have a lot of children, the philosophy of caring for the children, of nurturing them, of watching them, of supporting them is extreme in the Orthodox community. If you ask parents how they're doing, probably they'll tell you something about their children. My daughter did this, my son did this. So let's start with the idea that there's a lot of children, and the children are very important. And having a lot of children means that they have to be fed and clothed. Orthodox standards for much of the community require clothing to be nice, and you know, nice means not, you know, not super casual, but you know, the clothing is nice quality to the extent that you can that you can afford it. There's definitely a market. There's definitely a market for people who offer clothing for children. Obviously, you mentioned kosher food. I think we all know about that. Given the size of the families, there's a lot there in terms of their homes, and there's always a lot of expansion of homes going on. building, appliances, construction. If you go into neighborhoods like, if you go into many Orthodox neighborhoods, you can't go a block without seeing a construction van there. You also mentioned, I think we talked about vehicles. I know if you walk, if you go into certain neighborhoods, if I go in Borough Park, every other vehicle on the streets might be a minivan, yet not so much an SUV, but a minivan, because you're not talking about six-seaters, you're talking about eight-seaters. I mean, my wife used to say, why can't you get a car anymore that has a fold-down third seat? So there are markets, there are opportunities in terms of meeting the community's family size, the number of children, all those kind of things. I would also mention, by the way, that the community is very serious about its religion, practicing its religion. Anyone who's in the business of religious articles, the Jewish community, we buy a lot of stuff, including books and newspapers, and we are definitely the people of the book. So in all of these areas, there are significant need in this community.
Now, you know, let's go back to food, and I'm going to ask a question. I'm not sure if you have the data on the spot or it's something that you've come across. We know that in our community, there's holidays, and of course there's Shabbos once a week. So roughly there are 75, 80 days a year when we're completely disconnected, and it's a holiday type of mode, which means there's more meals, etc. Is there any type of number on the median annual spend for food of a typical American family and a typical Orthodox family?
Yeah, sure. So I've seen a number for a typical American family of $6,000, which is $500 a month. And remember, your typical family is smaller. Mm-hmm. I know that for an Orthodox family, it might be between $10,000 and $12,000, or larger. It all depends on what people buy. Do you buy organic, etc.? You know, the question, we did a survey last year on the costs of living the Orthodox lifestyle, and the extra cost of food was listed as one of the factors that people are aware of. The cost of kosher food, in some cases, being identical to the same thing in a non-kosher. In some cases, being, we're in the Thanksgiving season, the cost of a turkey could be 2 to 3 times per pound as much. But on the whole, the cost of food was not seen as a super burden. It was seen as a little bit of a burden, the cost of food. As you mentioned, we have the equivalent of a Thanksgiving dinner, like 60 to 65 times a year when we have our Sabbath, our Shabbat, and our holidays. But between me and you, the challenge between me and you is not so much the cost of it as just keeping my weight down. So, and by the way, as I mentioned that, I know that many of my relatives who live in Orthodox neighborhoods, they all go to fitness classes, and a lot of the fitness classes are men only or women only, because the more Orthodox like to have separation of the genders. So that's another area where there's a market opportunity.
Yeah, and that's, I wouldn't say a burden, although putting on the extra weight is certainly a factor. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue with more questions after this short commercial break. How could people find out more information about Nishma Research?
Yeah, Nishma Research, NISHMA Research.com. And also, by the way, we have the Orthonomics podcast, where we've had 12 episodes, which talk specifically about the Orthodox community.
Excellent. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
Eli Manning here. Recently, my business schedule has me scrambling. There's a lot to get done, and like most business owners, there just aren't enough hours in the day. But with Investors Bank, I can slow down a bit and fit my business banking into my schedule.
With Investors Bank, you can manage your accounts anytime with the flexibility of online and mobile banking.
You know, I never did like to scramble.
Visit investorsbank.com or stop by a branch. Member FDIC. Investors Bank is a division of Citizens Bank N.A.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful, but the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back. Mind your business. Here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. This is Gisela Kaplis here from Bottom Line Marketing Group. And our firm has worked on a number of campaigns in the past, whether on the political side or for corporate clients, for companies or political officials that realize the power in the Orthodox Jewish demographic. And therefore, we said, you know what, let's do a show on this. Let the Fortune 500 companies realize the power in the numbers and understanding the community a little better in order that they'll realize that there is a market opportunity for them in this so-called small segment. It's a small segment, yet there's tremendous opportunity. And therefore, tonight's show is the market opportunity. The title is The Market Opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish Demographic. And our guest is Mark Trencher, founder of Nishma Research. He's done many research studies over a number of decades. Mark, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
Now, before the break, you had talked about a fascinating study you had done not so long ago about finances in our community, the Orthodox Jewish community, vis-a-vis the general population. So perhaps we could focus on that, because through that, sharing some of that data would actually reveal the opportunity. So the fact, the children in the family, simchas, celebrations, and of course, all those are expenses, happy expenses, but are expenses nonetheless, which of course means that there's a market opportunity for many companies out there. So perhaps you could share some of the data from that incredible study.
Okay, so not surprisingly to your listeners, when the Orthodox Jews were asked what the biggest hit was to their budget, many of them said the cost of education. And they're talking about elementary school education and high school education. There is also a real demand, there's a growing demand in the community for secular secondary education, by which I mean, so for example, while somebody who grows up in the, well, a modern Orthodox kid might seek to go to a place like Columbia and take courses in history and philosophy, for the other two-thirds of the Orthodox community, the Hasidic, Yeshivish, there's a growing demand for programs that teach people skills to earn money. And so they might go to a yeshiva university, medical, law, accounting, computer programming, or a Touro college. So these are two universities that cater to the Orthodox community. So there's a real need for education. And I've heard of, and there are programs in the community that don't require a college admission, programs that training institutes that might train somebody in computer programming or that kind of thing. So I think I do see a growing realization that the cost of the lifestyle is expensive and we need to have better ability to earn some money. So there's definitely that educational component. You mentioned Simcha. So if you're a member of the community, you know that when you get invited to a wedding, you probably have between 350 or 550 other people there. And the question is asked, oh my goodness, do the parents of the bride really know all these people? And I have to tell you that there was actually a commandment in our community to share our simchas. So we tend to invite people, you know, so we might invite almost everybody in our synagogue or in our circle. So there's a commitment to share our joys and our simchas, which results in a lot of happiness, a lot of fun events, but it also results in a lot of food and catering opportunities. And I know there are some very successful catering halls that are doing a great job offering quality at a reasonable price. That's something else that is definitely an opportunity. If you look in any of the, we have a lot of newspapers in our community. If you go into any Orthodox home, you'll see newspapers. And these newspapers could have 200 plus pages. That's right. It's incredible the amount of, and the thing you'll notice is that a lot of them offer things like tourism packages, especially around the holidays. The community really wants them. We live life hard, by which I mean we take our religion very seriously. We're very diligent about it, and we need breaks, so we go on vacations, especially around the holidays. There's definitely our opportunities in the marketing area to provide quality vacations with kosher food, and there are many consultants out there who can advise on getting speakers that are appropriate. All that kind of thing. So there are definitely the specifics of the community do suggest that there are some areas that should be focused on by marketers to a greater extent than in the American community as a whole.
Okay. An important question that you touched on in the beginning, the early part of the show. Where do the Orthodox reside? Meaning there are, right, you have the coast-to-coast where Americans live, 330 million Americans, but the 900,000 to a million Orthodox Jews in general live in pockets, live in clustered communities. Where are those communities kind of by city and state?
Yeah, so the 900,000 Orthodox, a little bit more than two-thirds live in the New York metropolitan area, more than two-thirds. New York City, Long Island, Westchester. If you add New Jersey and Rockland County, you're really talking about 80% of all the Orthodox live between Westchester County, the five boroughs, northern, southern New Jersey, and Rockland County. So we really are clustered. The other 200,000 are mainly modern Orthodox, and they are scattered in all kinds of cities. You'll find 40,000 in Los Angeles, 20,000 in Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Miami, Atlanta, Cleveland, at 10,000 each. My community of Hartford, Connecticut, we have 400 Orthodox Jews. And I'm getting into the small numbers, but among the places I visited, I can just an example. I looked through the places I visited in the past 2 years, where Orthodox communities invited me: Denver, Kansas City, Northridge, California, Cincinnati, and even Birmingham, Alabama. That was a Zoom call. That was a Zoom call. There were only about a dozen people in the room, but we're all over. Beyond that, the yeshivish are highly clustered. Lakewood in southern New Jersey is the largest yeshivish community in the United States. It also is the fastest growing city in all of New Jersey.
So can we actually hold on to that for a minute? Let's talk about some of the data. Let's say from 1990, 2000, 2010, 2020. Like how, like just so we have a real perspective of the rapid growth in that community.
So you have, you have 70, you have the total yeshivish community is about 200,000. There are 75,000 of them live in Lakewood, New Jersey. These communities are growing at about 2.5 to 3% a year, which may not sound like much, but it means they're going to double every 20 years or so. The Hasidish are growing at 3.5% a year, so they're going to double every 18 to 20 years. So you know, in total, when I looked at the entire Orthodox at 900,000, I went out 20 years and it was 1.4 million. Which means that the Orthodox will be just the second largest group after the Reform. So groups are growing very rapidly.
Now in New York State, let's talk about Rockland County, right? So you have a lot of Hasidish, right? And you have Muncie, Spring Valley,
Each community has its flavors. So Flatbush, Brooklyn, Midwood. We'll have a lot of modern Orthodox, but also a lot of Yeshivish, and also a lot of Sephardi Jews who identify as Orthodox. And some of them, you look at them, and they'll look very much like the Yeshivish. If you go to Williamsburg, which is a hipster place, it used to be only the Satmars. Now it's the Satmar Hasidim living together with the young hipsters and the gentrification, which is kind of a very fascinating experiment in coexistence, which I understand is going pretty well. So you have the Hasidic group in Williamsburg, and Crown Heights, you have the Lubavitch group. In Borough Park, you have other Hasidic groups. So you mentioned, and then you have places like Lakewood, New Jersey, or Passaic, New Jersey, which have large communities. So you have to understand when you're marketing, you need to understand that there are some communities that are mixed, and there are some that are very, very specific. You would not use the same approach in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, that you used in Lakewood, New Jersey. They're both Orthodox. Their practices might be similar, but they have different mindsets. You mentioned Rockland County, Spring Valley, Muncie, New Hempstead, that whole area. It's highly Hasidic mixed with Yeshivish. So yeah, I can't give you the percentages, but I'm getting, depending what neighborhood you're in, some neighborhoods will be 100% Hasidic, some will be 100% Yeshivish, but overall there's a mix with a few modern Orthodox mixed in, but every community has its own real specific mix of people. And then you leave the New York area. So I go to a place like Denver. I said, so tell me about Denver. Yeah, we have two neighborhoods. We have the east side and the west side. One side is modern and one side is more yeshivish. Where my daughter lives in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, is the same thing. It's an east side and a west side. One side is modern, one side is more yeshivish. So there are online. There's a book called The American Jewish Yearbook, which has profile. The problem is that these profiles, there's no census done of the community. So how do we get these numbers? If you want to know the number for San Francisco, you look it up online. But oh my goodness, the last survey was done in 1996. What do I do with this? So then we have to end up estimating, and we talk to people who live there, you know, how the community changed. So there's no centralized census, but we do have a pretty good feel. We do have a pretty good feel of where they are. When I say that, for example, Chicago has 20,000, you know, I saw a number of 24,000, it might be 18, but it's in that range.
Question. Aside from kosher, because the food industry has clearly understood the power of the numbers in the Orthodox community and the market opportunity. Are there any other companies or even, not specific companies, but product lines or types of items that you would say that that company, you know what, they really understand the opportunity and are actually leveraging the opportunity to expand their business because of how they're reaching out to this channel.
Sure. I mean, there are clothing companies that sell modest clothing. That's true not only in the Orthodox community. That's also true in other religious communities. I mean, you can look at Amish, Mennonite, Seventh-day Adventists, and Mormons. They all have that. So there is definitely a market for clothing. When we got our, we have a General Electric stove oven, and guess what? It has a Shabbat mode. Which is a switch that my daughter has a Samsung refrigerator, which moved into her house a year ago. She said, "Dad, what's this?" I said, "That's the Shabbat switch." And so there are certain requirements in terms of electricity, the non-use of electricity on Shabbat. And, you know, when you open the refrigerator door, you don't want the light to come on because you made the light come on. So there's a little button that's called the Shabbat mode. And apparently the market is big enough that it probably does what can it cost Samsung to put that switch in? A few dollars, but they're very sensitive to the community. So yeah, again, it's a small community, but it has specific needs. And smart companies like GE and Samsung and the clothing companies and the food companies that have thousands of products with the kosher symbols on them, they all understand that, hey, you know, at the margins, if you're a 1 or 2 or 3% or 5%, and by the way, you might be surprised to know, and Mr. Lubinsky might have told you, that a very, very significant portion of kosher consumers are non-Jewish. When I say kosher consumers, they look for the label. So people buy a Heinz ketchup with an OU because it's a symbol of quality. And to some extent it is. But so these are companies that are smart enough to understand that this is a market. If you build it, they will come.
So true. Mark Trencher, the founder and leader of the Nishma Research organization. How can people find out more about Nishma Research?
Yes, go to my website. It's Nishma, N-I-S-H-M-A research.com. And there's a contact me button. I should mention, by the way, that I have a policy. If you email me, I will respond.
That's great.
I'd love to hear from people.
That's great. And the information is on the website. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Eli Manning here. Recently, my business schedule has me scrambling. There's a lot to get done, and like most business owners, there just aren't enough hours in the day. But with Investors Bank, I can slow down a bit and fit my business banking into my schedule.
With Investors Bank, you can manage your accounts anytime with the flexibility of online and mobile banking.
You know, I never did like to scramble.
Visit investorsbank.com or stop by a branch. Member FDIC. Investors Bank is a division of Citizens Bank N.A.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yitzhak Zaflis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. My guest is Mark Trencher, the founder of Nishma Research. And tonight's show, the topic is the market opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish demographic. And in this, in the last part of tonight's show, Mark is going to share a lot of fascinating data about the power of the Orthodox Jewish demographics in terms of a consumer group, how we consume. In fact, I'll share an interesting story. A number of years ago, there's a big mall in this area, in actually North Jersey, that had noticed that two consecutive days in September, the foot traffic in the mall was down by 40%. And they were very concerned, naturally. And they were about to call some type of research firm to find out what it is. And it turns out that there was an Orthodox Jew in the room when they were discussing what had happened. Let's say the previous week, they were looking at the numbers and they saw there were 2 days. I think it was, again, let's say it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday, whatever the days were. And they were like, you know, foot traffic was down by 40% in the mall. So Orthodox Jew says, you know, do me a favor, hand me a calendar. And those 2 days were Rosh Hashanah. So now the mall had not realized that, and there was a dip. Now, if they would realize the opportunity, they could have marketed, because before the holiday, the community had spent quite a bit on clothing and other items that, and again, the mall could have benefited. Realize there's an opportunity within this demographic, which even though the number coast to coast is a small number relative to Americans, again, the number of the Orthodox is roughly 900,000 to 1 million, and Americans are 300 million, but yet we consume a much higher amount of many items, more so than the average family. So perhaps, Mark, with that, you could jump into very interesting stats, facts, and figures about the Orthodox Jewish segment.
Sure, thank you. So I'll tell you, one of the questions that's often asked is about incomes, and people ask, what are the incomes of these families with the large families? So the incomes are high. They tend to be dual income families. Remember, we're talking about families in the New York area. So when I tell you the median, that's the midpoint household income, is in the 125,000 plus range. That sounds like a lot, but when you have six or seven children, you know, that's a lot of kids.
We didn't mention this earlier, and we send to private
yeah.
schools.
And then we asked about education. So we, among these families, the median amount that gets spent on an elementary school, an elementary or high school education, is in the low 30,000s. If they have a child in college, it's another low 30,000s. So for those families that have children ranging from age, 8 to 18, they might be spending $60,000 on education. And of course, they're spending more money in their housing because they live within walking distance of a synagogue because they don't drive on the Sabbath and Shabbat. Before I go into some specifics of opportunities for marketing to them, I will just tell you that the Orthodox community is remarkably self-reliant. If you wonder how do they live on with these large families, they're remarkably self-reliant. They have enormous charitable organizations and charitable participation. If you're getting married, you can probably borrow a wedding gown. There are dozens of organizations. Any item you want, a baby carriage, you're going to need an exorciser, which is a little thing that a baby jumps around in while they're learning to. You can get one and borrow it for 6 months, and you just make an $18 donation. So they're remarkably self-resilient. Having said that, the main thing, again, I go back to is the children. So your average American family has about 1.9 children. So let's say two, because I don't know what a 0.9 child looks like. We'll say two children. The average Haredi Hasidic or Yeshivish family, the typical median is in the 6 to 7 range. So that means every expense that's tied to children is triple. Clothing, and the clothing might be more expensive because they stay away from the really casual stuff. The clothing, food, obviously we talked about. You know, diapers. You mentioned Procter & Gamble. You know, the quantity of diapers. I mean, you see people walking through the streets carrying boxes of diapers at midnight in these neighborhoods. That's just a routine sight.
That's right. Formula,
Similac formula.
That's right. Carriages, cribs.
And then there are things you might not think of, like school snacks. I mean, if you go into an Orthodox supermarket, you will see a very elaborate section that sells little single serve snacks and candies, and it might seem odd to you, but when you have 8 kids going off in the morning, you've got to throw a pack of something into every one of those little eight bags. When we have our holidays, you mentioned the Rosh Hashanah, but when we have holidays, a lot of these holidays are time to relax. If you go, there are these little mini amusement parks or museums. So these are all opportunities for this community to participate. I mean, they love taking the kids out for a day. So there are many opportunities for meeting the needs of this community.
Now, an interesting point, this is something that we ran into as far as a marketing firm, is that through a general a general agency will not necessarily be attuned to the nuances of the community. Perhaps we could discuss that. You had talked about the
right
amount of magazines and newspapers that we have in the market. However, for example, there are many magazines and newspapers out of due to modesty concerns will not necessarily have pictures of women in it. A major company may not realize that, and perhaps you could give other examples along those lines.
Right, right. So I'll give you two examples. I recently did a study. A marketing firm in a strong yeshivish community was hired to do research for a local healthcare facility, and they approached me. And the questions were, how do we come across in our literature in terms of how we present it? But the more important question to them was, since most of our people try not to go online, how do you get them to fill out a survey? As I mentioned, all these communities have very vibrant newspapers. We placed an ad in the local Jewish newspaper. For some strange reason, while people don't go on the unbridled internet, people do go into WhatsApp communities and chat groups. We sent out thousands of WhatsApp messages and text messages and WhatsApp status reports. And we ended up finally, they said, you know, should we do a paper survey through the mail? We did a paper survey. So one of the things you need to know in reaching the Orthodox communities, you may need to be creative in reaching them through various methods. We ended up getting 400 responses to the survey. About half were from the online communication and about half were paper surveys that got mailed in. But you need to be creative in how you reach them. And you also need to be sensitive in how you present it. So as you mentioned, we depending on the community you're in, it'll affect the photos that you use in your material. And there are, like yourself, there are marketing firms that are very knowledgeable of the communities and really are the go-to for anyone who wants to reach this community.
Thank you. The way I put it when we pitch a client is, we know how to reach the community, when to reach the community, and you know those two are critical, because people won't realize, like, let's say Shavuos, right? Shavuot,
right,
that which comes out, that's like many times it's not on the radar screen of corporate corporate America, but at the same time there's a tremendous opportunity in terms of spend, clothing and other items which are needed in advance of a holiday. But a typical company, well, they'll know about Rosh Hashanah, they'll know maybe about Hanukkah, maybe Passover. I mean, we all know the Maxwell House Haggadah. That's the Maxwell House actually did studies that their product, the consumption in the Orthodox community had gone up because of the Maxwell House Haggadah. That's actually a very good example there.
And an example that sounds pretty mundane is, when do we're doing a survey. Let's send it out on Friday. No, You don't send it out on Friday because it'll get lost, because everyone turns off their computers Friday evening. And by the time it gets to be Sunday, it'll get lost. So we do all our surveys typically on Tuesday. So it's after the weekend and before the weekend. So these are just little things you need to know to be most effective in this community.
Mark, an incredible show. Again, tonight's show was a discussion of the market opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish demographic. Mark, before I let you go, first, could you please share the website, the web address of your organization, and any final thoughts?
Yeah, so the website is nishmaresearch.com, N-I-S-H-M-A research.com. It has a lot of articles, and all the communal reports I do are available at no charge. There's a podcast called Orthonomics, which is my podcast, brief episodes, about half an hour, insights into the community. And finally, my website has a contact me box. I'm always available to give advice at no charge to anyone in terms of the Orthodox community, doing research in the community, understanding them. I do respond to every email, and I love hearing from people.
Okay. Any final takeaways?
No, the final takeaway is that it is a vibrant community. It's a really complicated community because it's made up of a lot of different pieces that don't all fit together all the time. And just anybody who's thinking of exploring this community should definitely get advice, because there's a lot to know before you do that.
Mark Trencher of Nishma Research, on an incredible show discussing the market opportunity in the Orthodox Jewish demographic. We're out of time. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WR, the Voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.